T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tiger.
You're listening to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show, episode 20. Hey there, it's Kate Hartley here, and welcome to another episode of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in today. This is the show where I interview guests whose stories will inspire you to take the steps you need to create the life you want and educate you with tips and strategies to help you overcome your roadblocks. My guests all have one thing in common, and that is the passion to consistently take action, to follow their dreams and achieve their goals in life. On this show, you also hear what's working and not working in people's lives, the challenges they face, and more importantly, how they overcome those challenges, using their resourcefulness to get to where they want to be. Before I get into the details of my intuitive guest today, remember that you'll be able to listen to the replay of this interview via my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk, and on the Coach on Fire Facebook page, which is facebook.com/coachonfireradio. And I know my guest who I'm interviewing is also going to be putting it on her website, and I will reveal details of that in a little while. So I can't wait to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Mercedes Calleiros, and Mercedes is a medicine woman, a midlife mindset coach and self-care expert. She's a licensed massage therapist and empowers women to find their courage and stretch their wings to find their power. She loves the outdoors and nature, which inspires her to live every moment in the best way possible. And I'm so looking forward to introducing Mercedes to the show today. So, Mercedes, how are you today?
Hi, Kate. I'm actually doing very well today. I'm very excited to be here. Hi, everybody out there listening. Thank you so much for showing up today.
Oh, so cool. I'm so glad to have you on the show. And I know we tried to, just as a bit of a backstory, we tried to do this interview a few weeks ago, and I was just having all sorts of tech issues. So I've been really looking forward to introducing Mercedes, particularly because of the medicine woman section in her job title. Because for me, that is just like, oh, it just makes me so interested. So, Mercedes, give us a little bit of an idea about what got you to where you are now, and what's your big why, if you wouldn't mind?
Oh, well, I'll start with my big why. My big why is I just love living. I know that that is my purpose here. I know that a lot of people look for like this deep, meaningful purpose of being here, and some of us have that. But you know what? I just really honestly believe I am here to appreciate and enjoy being here. So that's a big part of it. Now, my journey started back in my early 20s. I come from a dysfunctional family. I'm sure a lot of us do. We all have our experiences with family and such. And I had, low self-esteem, self-worth issues, no confidence, and not really... I had a nagging ambition to do and be something, but nothing that really made me like want to go and get it. And then it was just, one thing after another where this and then just kept happening. And I just wasn't happy. And a friend turned around to me one day and she said, you're just walking around with this dark cloud over your head. Don't you get it? You set your own stage. You can make your own life. And then she handed me a Louise L. Hay affirmation tape. And then from that moment on, I can connect dots. I look back on my life. I see every single decision that was opportunities that were handed to me that I took and that I jumped at and that I moved. And that's what it's been. It's just once you open yourself up to the goodness, it just comes.
And so was Louise Hay in sort of the catalyst for you to change your outlook on life?
Most certainly. If this woman, yeah, at reading her book and knowing that she, at a time when a lot of us weren't talking about the law of attraction or positive affirmations, you know, she took this and healed herself of cancer, and then started this huge movement. So, you know, and her purpose wasn't to change anybody else's life. Her purpose was to live.
Yes, yeah, and she's had such an impact on so many lives around the world. Unfortunately, she died, what was just a few months ago, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah, that's right. Rest in peace, Louise.
Absolutely. She's had, yes. Well, I think her legacy will go on for years and years and years, because really, I mean, I would imagine everybody in the self-care community, myself included, I've got one of her discs, I've got one of her books, and I've also got a pack of her cards. And even when I'm not looking for learning, as it were, I just actually like looking through them, because they have the images that she creates are just so uplifting, and the messages are there, and it's just something that I feel is such, it's like eating a special, you know, my favorite treat. Is a bit like the same feeling I get when I look through Louise Hay's cards, like affirmation cards, for instance.
Yes, they're uplifting, you know, and they remind you that, or for me anyway, they remind me that, you know what, life can be simple, and at moments can be easy. It's us that really just put so much on top of it that makes it hard.
I agree with you 100%. And also what I find with her cards in particular, the affirmations, as it were, it makes you realize that life is down to us. It's down to the choices that we make and the actions that we take. And we can't revolt, you know, things will happen to us in our lives that we can't control. And that's what life is all about. And sometimes those things are good, and sometimes those things are just darned awful. But it all boils down to then how we translate what's happened to us and how we let that affect us in our lives.
That's exactly, you know, right.
Yeah, and that's the message I get from her books and her cards, is that it really is down to us, and we can make the best possible attempt at this life.
Yes.
Or we can sit and be a victim.
Right, right. Well, and the thing, you know, I like to say it like this to some people too, because it's, you know, easier to hear, is that, you know, how are you responding to life? How do you, you know, are you regurgitating from old stuff, or are you actually responding from where you're standing now? You know, and if you can come from a place where you're, from where you're standing, then you're in a place where you're actually learning and you're growing and you're moving forward. If you're regurgitating, you know, coming off from reactions from old stuff, then you're kind of stuck. Because you're not, because you're not allowing yourself to grow. And by your actions, you're also keeping other people stuck.
Yes.
So, you know, everything, we're all connected, even though we're all individual, we're all unique, and we're all separate. We are very energetically connected. And when you step into somebody else's space, if you can come into that space from a place of being present and listening in the moment and responding to what is happening there, rather than being in your head looking for the, you know, the next answer or the up to what they're saying, or getting triggered by what they're saying or doing, and then responding or reacting from that, you know, such a better space to do it the other way, where you're actually responding from being present than reacting from the past.
Oh, really? That's a really good point. And it's one that I think, well, it's something that we all live every day, but it's just drawing your awareness to that makes you more able to then not just to regurgitate and to take a fresh approach.
Yes, yes. And I find, you know, that I'll just say it, because most people in my our profession and whatnot, or the circle, will say is, you know, meditation. Meditation is one of those free, available to everybody tools that if you take the time to even, I'm even 5 minutes, 15 minutes is good and ideal for most people, but even 5 minutes just to settle yourself and to feel grounded in your body and to, I guess, to just really just feel, to be present with yourself is huge. You know, there's too many of us are too busy to do that. And what we find, you know, because I can get stuck in that mode for a little bit too. Yeah. I have two businesses and, you know, and I have a very busy home life and I have, you know, friends and I have family and, you know, I roller derby and I work out and it's just, I have a lot on my plate, you know, and I love doing classes, but I find that when I get too busy and I fall off my meditation, cycle that, I just get anxious. I start to worry more. Things don't start, you know, things don't fall into place and I have a harder time communicating with people. And it's mostly just because I'm frazzled. I don't have my foundation set for the day.
I think it's so important. And I, unfortunately, still some people regard it as woo-woo. And, you know, they don't think they need to meditate. But I agree with you. I just think it is so beneficial to us. And to, just to create that space within our heads of... And that's actually quite... hard to achieve when you first start. You know, I'm one of those people that has just thoughts that pile in and they flip through and all of a sudden, even though I've committed to meditating, you know, like 20 minutes later, I'm busy working on the next project for my business. Oh. And it's just like, this is not right. I'm supposed to be meditating. But the times when I do it and I succeed in doing it is... it just makes you feel so much more relaxed. And my clarity and focus is so improved when I meditate.
Right. And you just kind of feel like you're even breathing better.
Yes.
So I'll just say this to the, because I tell my clients this all the time. It's, you know, we have gotten, first of all, yes, there's those people who still think that meditating is like out there. It's a guru thing. It's like sit on top of a mountain with a, you know, your red robe on and shave your head meditation type thing. What I tell them is like, you know, and some people have a hard time sitting and not thinking. Well, you know, when you're first starting, you're not going to be the expert. That's why they call it a practice, just like everything else. You know, it's a practice. Practice takes time. You got to actually put the time into it. So if you sit, I always tell people to start, use your, you know, a timer or your phone, set it for 5 minutes. Someone said, well, can I do 2 minutes? Like, yeah, 2 minutes is a little too short, you know, do 5 minutes. And it's not about reprimanding yourself when you find yourself having, you know, taken off on a thought train. It's more about patting yourself on the back and, you know, celebrating those moments where you found you've gone off on a train and you know what, you brought yourself back.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I've also found it really hard to do, you know, to jump into one of those other, you know, like either you find a mantra or you find, you know, focus on your breath or whatever. People tend to have a hard time with that as well. I go with what like Esther Hicks says or Abraham Hicks says, you know, get into a quiet enough space. And if it's not quiet enough, listen for a sound that's steady in the background.
Yeah.
You know, the humming of a fan or the air conditioner or someone just rustling paper. You know, just listen to that and breathe.
Mm.
I find doing that gets me into the actual space faster than listening to my own breathing.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, how different things work for different people. Outdoors, I would listen to the leaves in the trees because, like you,
exactly.
I just love nature. But when I normally actually meditate because I tend to wake up in the early hours and I find it difficult to go back to sleep because my brain's pinging with all sorts of ideas for the business. But I focus on my breath. I breathe in slowly and breathe out slowly. And that is what, because I'm focusing on something that I'm doing, I always drift off. It doesn't take me long at all. And that works for me, but other people, it works for different things. It's really interesting. I think meditation is one of those things we don't do when we need it most. And it's another of those things where it's, you know, different people have different ways that work best for them. But
exactly.
It's certainly something that is universally beneficial.
Right. And you know what? I tell people to explore. I honestly, when I first, I'm a Gemini, first of all, and I'm not necessarily a type A because I do know how to relax and stuff. But when I get moving, I'm moving. And, you know, it's hard for me to stop. So when I first started to sit down for meditation, I cracked myself up because I would sit with, I love crystals. So I'd bring a crystal up and then I had my meditation music. And then I also, I gave myself, not outs, but just different methods, like lined them up for myself while I sat and attempted my meditation. This was when I was first starting, so that if I felt like I wasn't being able to sit and just, like we were saying, just listen for your breath, you know, in and out, that I was just continuously being distracted, then I would probably pull a card from one of my oracle decks, you know, and just focus on what it said, maybe. Or I would, if I was feeling too, you know, like I needed to move, then I would actually just do maybe a drawing meditation. I just sit and doodle, you know, nothing in particular, just lines and shapes and whatnot. Nothing that would engage my mind necessarily too much, but more to put it at ease. So I'd give myself these different avenues in those 5 minutes to do my meditation, however way it was going to happen that day. But I find that now I go up by myself and just sit. But that was a really good way for me to start because it forced me. At one time I was actually sitting for half an hour at one point, you know, or longer, 45 minutes. So be easy with yourself if you want to start. It doesn't have to be any particular method of meditation unless you're someone who absolutely has to have a name for it and, you know, ways to do it. There are lots out there. There's mindfulness meditation, transcendental meditation.
Yeah,
there's quite a few out there, but find the one that works best for you and use it.
What would you say? I mean, for people that aren't very au fait with meditation at the moment, yeah, you just mentioned transcendental and mindfulness meditation. Would you just briefly explain what the difference between those is?
Mindfulness meditation goes more into it's actual like a guided meditation you either do with yourself or you'll listen to it, or listen to someone else guide you through it. You're being mindful of most of the time for me it's the body. So you would actually go through the meditation saying, you know, right now I'm going to focus on the forehead. And I'm going to focus on releasing and relaxing those muscles in the forehead. And I'm going to move down to the eyes. So you would do that throughout the whole body. Yeah. So a mindful meditation. Transcendental meditation, I have to be honest with you, I really don't know a lot about it. I do know that when people do it, this is one type of meditation that I guess would be more in the woo-woo section of people's dictionary of meditations. Transcendental, meaning they are actually transcending the level of being in physical body and mind into that place where you're up and out and above and elsewhere. So, I again, for me, those are so far-reaching in the sense that if, like, I don't feel like I have the time for that. So it almost makes me hold my breath a little bit. But again, just going back to like a simple meditation, just, you know, whatever it is for you, as long as you can be quiet and allow the, not even the mind, it's just to everything to relax.
It is. It's just stopping the chatter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Giving yourself some space just to be. I think, you know, because you love the outdoors as much as I do. And
yes, I keep thinking walking meditation.
Yeah, you know, well, just sometimes being outside and connecting with nature, whether that's just watching the birds feed or water flow down the river or a lake into a lake, or, you know, just being out and grounded is just so beneficial.
Yes. And to, you know, for me too, it's also about when I'm deep into that space to listen to the birds singing. That is one of the most wonderful sounds in the whole wide world to me.
Oh, it's beautiful. We're very lucky here in the UK. We have some lovely bird song. And when we go to France, we spend some of our summer holidays in the south of France. And I miss the birds because they don't have the same songbirds down there like we have here. And okay, we get the chilly weather, but we get the bird song and it's just, oh, I miss it so much when I'm on holiday.
Do you, I live here on the Cape in Massachusetts, Cape Cod, and it's a route for migration.
Wow.
So we tend to get lots of birds at different times of the year, and it's lovely. I just absolutely love it. I love bird song.
Now, all of this has come sort of taken you in a direction to create a program that you're launching mid-January. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about the program?
Yes, my program, it's the Midlife Mastery Program. I turned 50 this year. And for the last, thank you. For the last, I'm thinking maybe 5-6 years ago, I do, the majority of my work that I do is massage therapy with people. And what I was noticing through my clients is that I was starting to hit perimenopause.
Yes.
And also go into those years where I would start hearing women saying, you know, it's harder to take the weight off. It's, you know, their husbands are retiring, or maybe they were retiring and they had no idea what they were going to do next or how they were going to handle their husbands being at home with them all day. Mm-hmm. You know, these things got me to thinking and started me on a movement to get ahead of all of that. And in doing that, it just really reinforced everything I've been doing in my past to get to where I'm at now. So what I realized is that I've been carrying these tools around for a really long time. Now I'm just using them differently in a way to help project me into, you know what, that woman I've always wanted to be. And now I have that time. The time and the energy for it, you know, to move forward. So in doing that, incorporating tools, my medicine wheel, when I was in my 20s, I was introduced to setting up a medicine wheel for meditation and kind of also seeing, you know, where you are at in your life, dependent on where you're sitting in the medicine wheel. And I have a whole map and a guide for that. But also initiated with my medicine pipe and to do these circles. So using that, again, meditation and using my, working out my positive affirmations, knowing how I talk to myself, knowing that, you know what, I have to take pleasure in life every day because if I don't, I'm not going to be happy. So, what I've done is I've taken these steps, and there are 9 of them, and I've created a 9-week program, 1 step every week, so that you have 7 days to be awash in the step that we're going through. We'll say like self-talk. So you'd be able to, through the worksheets and stuff that I give you, is first and foremost, know what self-talk is, get clear on where you're at with yourself and how you're talking to yourself and what tapes you're playing from other people talking. Because I know when we listen, when we're really listening in to get clarity, that you can actually hear the voices of those people who have said those things to you in the past.
Yes.
So, yeah. So to be able to take all that in that 1 week and get clearer on it, to practice your affirmation, to come up with your own affirmations. Mm-hmm. So, that's just one of the steps. So I break it down into 9, the last step being, of course, pleasure and celebration, because I just really honestly believe that that is a big part of living. If we're not in pleasure and celebrating, then why are we here?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Forget that. This sounds absolutely fascinating. And I want you to sort of quickly go over the other steps, if you wouldn't mind, too. But before you do, you mentioned, and this is the bit that I just find so interesting, Your medicine wheel and your medicine pipe. Can you explain a bit more about that? I'm just so intrigued.
Yes, my medicine wheel, my own personal medicine wheel, I have some beautiful gemstones that I use to lay out. Best to explain it, of course, it's a circle. You're using stones. If I'm doing one outdoors, I just use like river stones and stuff. It can be any size. You start with your center. That's, you know, always yourself, your center, yourself. And then you surround that with seven other rocks, those being the different steps you're going to do. And then each direction has its own stone. So, you know, east, south, west, and north. Mm-hmm. And usually to start the wheel, you'll sit in the east. East is the beginning. It's where the sun rises. It's the children's lodge. It's the men's lodge. So, you know, you go into that space knowing and feeling the beginnings and the sun and being outer, you know, more male, going out to do things, to get things started. Mm-hmm. Then you move into like the south, which is the children's lodge, which is a place of growing and greenery and, you know, being alive and imaginative and creative. Then you move into the west, which is the woman's lodge, you know, the place of the womb, of magic, of being inner and the dark shadow parts and, you know, learning more and getting deep into that. And then you move into the north, which is the all-knowing, the place of our elders and our great-grandmothers and grandfathers, our ancestors, the place of light and knowing. You can do this. I've done it, a month medicine wheel where you, every week you move into a different direction, mm-hmm. And you just meditate on it that way. My medicine pipe, I usually smoke that before. It's a pipe that was actually made in South Dakota by one of the, tribes there, the Lakota tribes. And the, stem is, I just blanked on the type of wood it is, but the piece that you put the tobacco in is made out of sandstone, and it was hand carved by someone, and then actually presented to me at one of my at my actual initiation that I did in California with my friends and people out there. There were six of us being initiated that day, so. My wonderful and beautiful friend, Susan Grace Lawton, who lives in Sacramento, California, was doing the teachings, and she learned from Grandmother Eden the steps. And we follow the moon cycle. It's not a sun cycle. It's a grandmother's medicine wheel that we do. So it's the moon cycles we go with. So at the full moon is where you would start the circle.
Yes.
On the full moon. And you just bring in full moon energies, you know, which so it's just really fun. You do it outside. We do some beautiful chants, both in English and then Native American Indian chanting. And it's just a really beautiful thing to do.
Oh, if I come in your neck of the woods, I'm going to knock on your door and ask if I can go around your medicine wheel with you. That just sounds so awesome. Oh,
thank you. Yes, that would be great. I just bought a house about 2 years ago, and we've been doing landscaping in the backyard, but clearing a good enough space where I can have on one side a labyrinth to walk through, and then on the other side my medicine wheel, so I could just go sit out in the center of my medicine wheel. It's gonna be big.
Just sounds idyllic. Oh my goodness, I feel like I've met my soul sister.
Kate, we need to meet in person.
Definitely do. I was just so intrigued. I wish I had more than an hour to talk to you.
Beautiful. So I also incorporate some of my Native American teachings and whatnot into my body work.
Ah, okay. So can you explain a bit more about that?
Yes, I haven't done it with a lot of people. I haven't advertised it because I live on the East Coast, and it's kind of it's been an interesting journey out here as far as the woo-woo part of it is. I'm a native Californian from Southern California, and so I was born woo-woo. but this year I decided, you know what, I'm going to stop hiding that part of myself, and I'm going to just put it out there. So what I do is I start people out in a deep trance with my drum. Mm-hmm. And
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and then I do a welcoming Indian chant to welcome the grandmothers, the healing ancestors, and anybody that day that wants to work with in a positive way with my client and myself that day. And then we just, depending on what their issues are and what we're working towards, we kind of do like a soul retrieval work with them. It is body work. So my hands are on the body and we are moving energy, not just physically, but also energetically. And I don't talk a lot other than to put you into the trance. And then the only times I really talk is if I'm getting what I call messages. Mm-hmm. It was really difficult for me in the past to say that I was intuitive, but it's intuition coming through. And I find sometimes that I'm having thoughts when I'm working with people, and these thoughts absolutely mean nothing to me. Sometimes they're so off that I realize now, you know, or have realized that these are my client's stuff. So I just bring up whatever comes up for me. And usually it resonates with where the client's at or what they needed to hear or work with. So that, and we do some saging, and I love feathers. I work with feather. I do feather work.
Yes, because you've got feathers on your homepage. I love that. I love that
yes.
image. Oh, it's just beautiful. And the colors.
Thank you.
Oh, it just looks fantastic. It resonates with me so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So, and that's what I do. And it's very, how do I say, it just brings people home. Mm-hmm. It just brings them home. It grounds them. It helps them feel in their body. It helps them feel lighter. It helps them, know that, you know what, they can be clear. They, what I keep seeing is this beautiful crystal that's crystal clear. Mm-hmm. It has no ghosts or shadows in it or cracks in it. It's just beautifully clear. And that's usually what I see. I try to picture my clients in that way before I get started with them. And then once when we end, I usually can get that clear crystal vision out of them, and that always makes me feel happy because I know at that point that they've released stuff and they've been able to fill themselves with a nice light.
And is that part of a sort of a recurring treatment, or is that, you know, do people just need, say, like the one energy work treatment with you, that then, you know, you manage to give them that clarity and that clear energy, and do they have to come back, or is that generally the one treatment works for them?
That's a good question. That is, it's an individual thing, and it depends on what their issue is that they're working on. Mm. I know people, people who have been through a traumatic experience that's really thrown them off, and they're unable to live their life because of it. Like they're having a hard time getting up in the morning. They don't brush their teeth anymore. They haven't taken a shower in days. You know, those type of people. Yeah, those type of people I would probably see at least 3 times. And I do even a little bit more in-depth work with them. Mm-hmm. So that I know that they're really grounded. Definitely the first treatment we would do is a major cleansing and a clearing. And then that would be the one treatment, and that would be enough for them one day. Then they would come back in the next week usually and have another session where we'd go from, now that they've been cleared, we could go in and start doing some soul retrieval with them. Mm. And then...
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry,
no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for even for somebody who's sounds as though they've totally given up on life, for 3 treatments, it's such an effective treatment that you're able to do that within the 3-treatment span. I mean, I know it might be slightly more sometimes, but that just goes to show how incredibly powerful that healing is.
It really is powerful. I just, you know, I find, or I'm finding, and I have found that ritual, doing ritual with people is such a healing episode. A lot of times it sounds so simple, but, you know, I pray over water. You pray on on my talking stick. I pray over my talking stick. And, you know, when I take it to a gathering and we sit in circle and it's time for everybody to share, we pass around this talking stick that I've prayed over. And just being able to hand that over to the person to my left and then seeing how it almost transforms them. Mm-hmm. And they're able to go into that space where, you know, they can reveal their insides. They can reveal their feelings, their true feelings and who they are and what their inner talk and chatter has been. And that people around them are respectful and listen. Ritual really helps people get into that space of, I keep thinking in my mind, I keep having a visualization of nature, of us sitting in circle the way Native Americans used to, you know, not just the women, but the men would sit as well. And, you know, they would discuss things with themselves. If someone was sick in the tribe, yes, they would go see the medicine man or the medicine woman and, you know, do work that way. But a lot of times, too, they'd sit them in the middle of the community circle. And this would be a ritual. You know, they'd burn sage and they would chant and dance and be together. For me, I really honestly believe that having the attention from someone and having that attention be ritualistic and bringing them back to the earth and back to the moon and to the sky and to the stars, to our beginnings, to our source, that's where they can start again. You know, it's like giving everybody, including yourself, that starting point again.
And it's so cleansing and energizing because you see yourself as a tiny fragment in such an expansive and ever expanding universe when you're doing that sort of thing. And I think, you know, when a lot of when people are really down in the dumps or they're suffering from depression or they've just given up on life, they become very inward thinking because that's part of the way those, you know, that sort of mental health issue works. But when you're part of a group that sat there listening to you while you're talking to, you know, exploring your problems and revealing mm-hmm. your sort of your
being
your woes.
Vulnerable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But as part of a universal energy session, it's so empowering because it's almost like there's somebody with some big bar cutters chopping away at the shackles that are holding them down,
and
allowing them to release that, get rid of the bad energy, but fill up with the positive energy that's surrounding them.
And be lifted up, right?
Yeah,
right.
It's so transformative.
Yes, and that's usually, you know, that's how when I do sit in circle and when, you know, I have people, I usually am envisioning these people levitating, you know, mm-hmm. coming up off the ground because we're just supporting them so much,
yes.
you know, that they just rise. And it's just, you know, seeing someone come into the realization that, you know what, they have absolutely nothing to do but just be. And in that being, that they can shine this beautiful light and just enjoy and just being. It's just such, it brings tears to my eyes. I just love seeing people when they're able to realize that, you know what, they are free. They don't need to be encumbered by all this stuff that we call reality.
No.
You know. Yeah, because it's really cool to have all this stuff, you know, it's cool to have not just stuff, but, you know, a job and work and, you know, friends and that kind of stuff, or, you know, things to do is, I guess, what I'm saying. But to also be okay with not having any of that.
Just being.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
which goes back to meditating as well, because it just allows you to be without doing.
Right, right. You know, I believe, I haven't checked for sure, but I've done meditations on it and stuff. So I believe that my ancestry, my Mexican ancestry is Aztec, Toltec, Olmec. In reading about that, because I've also, a lot of my healing, got my healing techniques and such have come to me through meditations and dreams. So knowing that and doing that, and I get information sometimes, and someone gave me a book one time, and it was talking about how the Toltecs and the Olmecs believe that this world out here is our illusionary world. When we are dreaming, that is our real world. That is where we're really living. So, you know, being out here in this illusionary world, it for me has made it easier, because it's like, you know what, none of this is real. So I can walk any way I need to in this. You know, it's in my dream world where I'm working things out, because that's where my subconscious, my soul, is able to touch base with everything inside of me, all the memories, all the things that have been said to me, all the things I've put my hands on, all the things that I've said, people that have been in my life, all that is there in my subconscious. I can work things out there. When I'm in conscious mind is what's in front of me, you know, and and you know, what's holding you back a lot of times.
That's profound. It's so fascinating. Right, listen, we're going to stop and take a break for a few minutes, because I think it's an opportune moment to play the song that you've chosen, which is Morning Has Broken, which is sung by Cat Stevens. So I'll play this for a few minutes, and then we'll regroup and continue with the interview, Mercedes.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kate.
Broken like the first morning, blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. The rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new. Morning has broken
the first morning, blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
Pretty. That's Morning Has Broken and was sung by Cat Stevens. It's a popular and well-known Christian hymn, first published in 1931. It has words by the English author Eleanor Fajon and was inspired by the village of Alfriston in East Sussex. The English, he's a folk singer, Cat Stevens, included a version on his 1971 album, Teaser and the Fire Cat, and the song became identified with Cat Stevens due to the popularity of this recording. So, Mercedes, what made you choose this song in particular?
Yeah, it just brings tears to my eyes. It is so, it resonates so much with me. I just, even saying the words,
I can hear the morning, emotion in your voice.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Morning has broken, people. It's like the sun is coming up. We are alive. We are breathing. It is beautiful out there. You know, it's like, get up and go. It makes me go. It really, I just love that song.
Oh,
yeah, it really
that's so
touches
lovely.
A chord in me.
But you know what? We should as well, shouldn't we? Every morning that we wake up, we should be absolutely grateful for that chance to wake up, because not everybody does. And, you know, none of us are guaranteed a tomorrow, and none of us are guaranteed a later on today either. So it really is a matter of, you know, not just waking up physically, but literally waking up and living our life.
That's right. That's right. Yes to everything you just said, because it just really, like I said, you know, I really honestly believe that this is my purpose, is to live, you know, and if I can help other people live and breathe a little easier, well, then that's just the icing on my cake. You know, and if I can make them laugh, that'll put the cherry on it.
Well, your midlife mastery sounds as though that is really going to help to do that for a lot of people. Is it just for women, or is it for men as well?
You know, I love working with women, and I had thought to close it off to that, but I've had a couple of guys ask me about it, because you know what? They go through midlife also.
Totally.
Yeah, they go through midlife also. So I'm willing to work with both men and women, or women, men. I just really... You know, when it comes to men, and I'm sure it's also with women, but I really need to know that they're in that space to learn, that they're genuinely coming to me for self work, and to move forward. I've just had experiences in the past where that's not what they wanted.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, if they genuinely want to come in and change themselves and they're ready to do that work, then by all means, yes, I would love to work with men.
Oh, I think anybody who works with you would benefit so much from your wisdom and experiences. What does living your best life mean to you, Mercedes?
Living my best life means to me enjoying being myself, enjoying, you know, the self revelations that come to me, but also enjoying and cherishing the lives of the people around me, especially those that are closest to me. Again, as I get older, and I'm not major old or anything, but I just really find that, you know what, I cherish the time that I get to spend with my friends. I cherish the times I get to spend with my sisters and my family. That's what life means to me. It's, you know, I enjoy the upward mobility of, you know, my career and, of course, you know, making more money and doing more stuff and, you know, that kind of thing. But when I really come down to it and I really ask myself, you know, like, what's really the most important thing to me? And it's really spending time with the people that I love.
It is connection, isn't it?
It really is. It really, really is. Because you can't take any of this other stuff with you.
You can't. When I work in hospice, and I've mentioned this a few times before, so I apologize to anybody who's heard me say it again, but I think it's so important to keep reiterating that the top regret of people in hospice is that they didn't spend enough time with the people that they loved. And the next regret down is that they didn't tell those people often enough how much they loved them.
Right, right.
Those are two easy things to remedy. Even if, you know, you can't be with each other a lot of the time because of work commitments or, you know, geographical problems, but at least when you are together, you know, connect, be with each other.
Yeah, and I'm not a big, huge social media person, but I'll just say this with, because I have three sisters and we kind of live spread around a little bit, you know. I'm on one coast, they're on the other coast and in the middle of the country. But I'll have to say with the text and stuff, you know, to be able to shoot out a text during the day and say, you know, I don't know, who else is wearing the red shoes, you know. It's just fun stuff like that, that we can have a little bit of communication during the day. I just feel so much closer to them, even though I'm not spending a lot of time with them. So for that, I really thank social media, because in a little bit of a way, it does keep me closer to, you know, those people that I do really love, even though when we're not in the same state. I just find that if you don't have personal relationships that are strong and real, that you're really kind of missing out on a big part of why we're here.
I agree with you. But also on the social media side of things, you know, I spend quite a bit of time on social media now because I run my health and fitness business through that. But having said that, you know, I would never have met you if we hadn't found each other on social media, although
it
was through a course, but you know, we found that course that we both did in through social media. And I've made some fantastic connections, some really, really good friends, because we're like-minded. And you're not, you know, the people that you grew up or went to school with, perhaps you might not have that many things in common with anymore. And the people that I've met on social media, not all of them, of course, I don't know them all really well, but there are some real gems there that I've met. And I'm just so grateful for having this platform to connect with people that I would never, ever otherwise have ever come across.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yeah, I trip up on some of the technical stuff, but I'm, you know, getting better at using it and whatnot. Being a medicine woman that loves to be outdoors, hanging out with my computer is not my favorite thing to do. But
no, I guess. Yeah, I can understand that. It is. It takes some discipline, and it takes some. Well, it's against what you naturally want to do, isn't it? You're probably a bit like me. If somebody said you've got to be a cave woman for the rest of your life, I'd actually be quite happy.
There you go. I'd say point me to the cave.
Yeah, do right.
So that's right.
We're sort of nearing the end of our interview, Mercedes. So three tips would you give to our listeners to walk away with? If they have to remember you for three specific things, what would you like them to remember you by?
Oh, one, that I am here and I'm a great listener, and that listening is like one of the top things you could do for anybody. And that would be one tip. And two would be is that I love self-care. I love self-care. I love it for myself and I love it for other people. And if you don't know what self-care is, Come to my website. You know, taking care of yourself, meditating, exercising, eating right, all those things. It's huge. If you're just doing those things, you're living a better life. And the third thing I would have to say would be a big part of this living thing for me is pleasure. I find sometimes that people forget that. And we're not having pleasure in our lives, you know, and what does that mean? It's like, well, you know, pleasure means doing those things that make you happy, you know, taking a bath, You know, exercising for some people,
yeah,
spending time with family and friends, dancing, you know, having sex.
I love dancing. I can see you dancing around your medicine circle with your pipe.
There you go. Yes. Yes. You know, take pleasure, you know, in who you are, take pleasure in what you are. I mean, you've got this awesome body, you know, if you're taking care of it, and loving it, then it will take care of you and love you as well. So, you know, take pleasure in life. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Oh, very good points. I love those. So, how can people find you, Mercedes? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can email me at Mercedes. That's MERCEDEZ at Mercedes. Calleros is spelled CALLEROS as in Sam, and .com. That's my email address.
Okay.
And then they can look me up on my website at MercedesCalleros.com.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure that I link up everything, all the ways to contact you, and also your Midlife Mastery course on the show notes for today's episode.
Awesome.
Oh, Mercedes, I appreciate you so much coming on the show today. And I'm so glad that we finally managed to talk, because I've been looking forward to this for a long, long time.
Me too.
Oh, it's been superb. And I'm probably going to have to get you back, because there's still loads I want to ask you. I'm absolutely fascinated.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's do this again.
Perhaps we should do it in person together. I'll come and visit and bring my microphone.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, no, that would be good. So
yes, we can do it out on the beach.
Oh, even better. So this interview will be posted on the Flourish Therapy Facebook page, and you can find that at facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk. And it will also be on the Coach on Fire Facebook page, which is facebook.com/coachonfireradio. To our listeners, thank you all so much for being here. This was episode 20 of the Flourish and Thrive radio show with me, Kate Hartley of Flourish Therapy. And Mercedes Calleros was my inspiring guest. And you can find more about Mercedes Calleros at www.mercedescalleros.com. And don't worry about the spelling. I will put that on the Facebook page. So Mercedes, oh, thank you so much for talking to me today. And I've so enjoyed this interview.
I appreciate the invitation. I appreciate you spending the time with me. And I'm so thankful for anybody who came on and listened to us today. If you didn't come on and listen today, thank you for listening to the replay.
Yeah,
let me know if I can... Yeah, let me know if I can be there for you.
Okay, thanks so much, Mercedes, and talk to
thanks,
you soon.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.